This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. The message for this particular session was first published in the month of January of 2016. It's being recorded for audio in the month of September of 2024. That's a little over an 8-year difference. And our subject scriptures are two of them. One is in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 18, and the second one is in Hosea chapter 4 and verse number 6. And if you have the scriptures available, you will find these words recorded. The first one in Proverbs says this: "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he." The second scripture found in Hosea says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children." The title for this message is No Vision, No Future. And this is part number one, and it's going to go all the way through to December, which would be part number 12. So in other words, it's essentially going to cover the entire year of 2016. So this is part one of a 12-part message. Now, the message for this month, and let's say for the next 11 months after this one, has to deal with a very important attribute of the gospel that many don't really think about, but is a key factor in all of our lives. that factor is hope. Another name for it is vision. The two of them can be easily combined or exchanged to mean the same thing. Since I used the scripture saying where there is no vision, the people perish, I will elaborate on it, but keep in mind I am still talking about hope. What does this scripture mean when it says where there is no vision? Essentially, it means there is no way of escape, deliverance, advancement, or any other situation where a person can see a way to better themselves or their condition in life. The key to life is setting goals for oneself and to continually pursue that goal as long as you live. It is that goal that is the vision a person has that gives them the reason to continue on the path that they are on. From the time a person is born, their parents have the vision of raising them in this nation to be successful contributors to society. Unlike in some other countries where there is very little chance for that to take place, America, thanks to God, presents every opportunity imaginable for that to happen. That is why this nation draws so many people from all over the world. We are a beacon of hope for just about everyone, and as such, many of them risk everything they have, including their lives, to get here. We can say that life is a series of goals that are instilled in us from the time we are children to keep our eyes on the prize, so to speak, so that when all is said and done, we can look back and see that we have been a success in life. Now, let's look at several examples where vision or hope play a key role in the life of an individual so that we can see what a lack of that vision or hope can do. Using myself as an example first, I can remember when I started school, my mother, who, by the way, raised me by herself, kept telling me that I needed to stay in school to get a good education so that I could get a good job when I grew up. On the north end part of the city of Detroit, back in the 50s and the early 60s, while I was in school, I really didn't see much sense of knocking my brains out to get a good education, because back then, as a young black child, my exposure to anything that even smelled of success were the people I saw every day that were running numbers, pimps, and gamblers. Of course, my mother, who was self-employed as a beautician that worked out of our home, was an example of someone that never stopped working to make a better life for herself and me. She knew that there was a better life out there for us, and she was willing to keep on working to achieve it. Now, let's say, for instance, my mother didn't have the vision to want to better herself. She may not have felt that I needed to stay in school to get a good education because there was nothing out there for us to strive for. the end result of that type of mindset is a person that is completely useless as a human being and as a productive member of society. This nation is where it is today because of people having a vision or hope of better things in life and pursuing them. There were many times while I was in school, I felt comfortable with our station in life because we lived in an apartment building and most of my friends lived in that building. Some of my mom's customers that came to our apartment lived in rented houses. I don't remember if any of them actually owned a house, so as far as I was concerned, as long as I could hustle up enough money to pay my rent, that was being successful. When I got in junior high school, we moved out of that apartment building into a rented house. That is when I got my first taste of living in a place where there was more freedom to do and have things that we couldn't in the building. We had a backyard, a porch to sit on. We didn't have to wait for the building maintenance man to turn on the heat when it got cold. We had a little more freedom to make a little more noise and a lot of other things. But one of the bigger things that moving showed me was the fact that some of my new friends lived in houses that were owned by their parents. This was something new to me. Black people owning the houses they lived in. How could that be? Their parents were educated in one instance, and in the other, there were two that had a good high-paying job at an automobile factory. My exposure to them was enough to get me to see the benefits of staying in school and striving to better myself in life. A lot of times it takes moving out of your comfort zone before you can be exposed to things that will give you the incentive to the possibilities that life in this nation has to offer. You know, in the Bible story of Abram, who later was called Abraham, God told him to leave the land where he had been raised and was doing quite well and go into a land that he knew nothing about and that God would bless him, which he did. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. If you know the story of Abraham, you know that because of his obedience to the vision or hope that God gave him, he is forever known as the father of faith. Here, God provided the vision, but Abraham had to make the choice to pursue it. If you will notice, in one example, the vision was provided by those that I acquainted myself with, while the other was provided by God. And in both cases, the choice to pursue that vision rested on the individual. That means success is not going to force itself on you. You will have to go after it. getting back to the situation with acquaintances. As I mentioned earlier, it took our moving from one place, leaving those that I had known all my life and making new friends and associates, for me to really grasp what my mother was telling me. Friends are good to have, but sometimes you have to leave them for a while or permanently in extreme cases in order to improve yourself. I mean, if a friend is trying to get you to stay in the rut that they are in because they have no vision, then quite frankly, you are going to regret it in the end. Besides, what better way for you to be a friend to that person than for you to leave them, find success, then come back and help them out of their situation? You could be the one to provide the vision for them. I know people today in my past that are or were as intelligent as you can get, but yet, because they are surrounded by what most of us would call riffraff, they see nothing more for themselves than being hustlers, pimps, prostitutes, and drug dealers. Well, naturally, when I was started out this message talking about the dates, this was, like I said, this was back before, you know, while I was still young and in school and things. I'm 78 years old now, so you know that was way back when. Anyway, there is an old saying that if you hang around dogs, you are likely to end up with fleas. However, the real gist of this message is just exactly what is the relationship between vision, hope, obedience, and the gospel. As I mentioned earlier, in the case of Abraham, God provided the vision, and all that Abraham had to do was be obedient. The same thing holds true for us today. God has provided us with promises of blessings, and all we have to do is act on the things that He wants us to do, and bam, there they are. It is one thing to see those that are not in the family of God going around and feeling like there is nothing worth living for, but to see a Christian with that type of attitude is pathetic. The problem with them is they either don't know what God has in store for them, or they have lost sight of the vision and have resorted to some other means to achieve what they feel is good for them. Just as God has provided us with the vision of what is in store for those that walk uprightly before Him, He also provides the vision of what will be the outcome of those that refuse to. It is not necessarily God's intention to scare us into being obedient to Him as much as it is to let us know the entire picture of why we should obey Him. If we look at life from the practical, carnal standpoint, from the past up to today, we will see just how advanced mankind has become over the centuries. All of these have come about because someone had a vision of things that they believed would make life a little better for them and us, and set out to pursue it. Now we must consider a few things. The first thing is, how do these visions come about? These visions usually start or grow from a need. As we go through this journey called life, there are times when we have to, or we have, or will face something that will cause us to desire a means to overcome or better our condition, either physical or spiritual. It is during these times that we will begin to ponder a means by which we can achieve that goal. Over the course of time, one might go through a series of experiments, of trials and errors, until the goal is either achieved or deemed to be unattainable. In some instances, a person may find that their vision will take more time than they may have in life to reach. But it is so important to not only themselves, but mankind, that they will pursue it as long as they can, and then pass it on to someone else to continue. Examples can range from personal achievements up to finding cures for diseases and even space travel. In the case of personal goals, one has to do a lot of research into what it will take to bring that vision into reality. The two things it will usually take is time and money. If either one of the two is in short supply, the vision will be limited to how long they hold out, either the money or the time. Sometimes, if the vision is important enough, a person may seek the help of others to bring that goal to pass. As you have probably already noticed, the goal or vision is limited to what is available, talking about time and money. If either one runs out, then the vision will essentially be seen as unattainable and will eventually be forgotten about. Now, contrast that situation with a vision that is given to a person by God. The first thing we could say is, if it is given to a person by God, then it quite naturally will be backed by God. And what do we know about Him? He will provide all that is needed to bring that vision to pass. There is nothing that can stop it as long as the person adheres to what God says. You see, the Bible says that God watches over His word to perform it. You look at Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 12 and Ezekiel chapter 12 verse number 25. That is quite an assurance to know that nothing is impossible for men if God has promised it to him. As I have mentioned, every advancement that we have in this world today, even to going to the moon and back, started out as a vision of what could be if everything worked out. One of the biggest hindrances to a vision being fulfilled is the fact that there are always roadblocks that have to be overcome. The bigger the vision, the bigger the roadblock. These advancements came because in a lot of instances, ordinary people like you and I saw a need for something and went about pursuing it for days, weeks, months, years, and even beyond. Well, that's all for this part of the message. We will get into continue with the message in part two. Now remember, this is a 12-part message. So in other words, we're running from January all the way through to December. And as in closing for this message, let me just say, I hope that you have a happy and prosperous new year. I hope you had a Merry Christmas and that you're starting out the new year on the right track. And hopefully this message will help you in some areas to possibly make life a little better for yourself and your family. So that's all for this particular portion. Stay tuned for part two of our message. And in closing, let me just say, may God bless you and your family real good until we get together again. Good day.